come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus. So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the Gospel of John. John in the second chapter, John chapter 2, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1, and we'll read down through the 12th verse today. And so while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. It's a wonderful time to enjoy the study, and I always enjoy hearing from you folks. We are having some trouble with our website just a little bit, so if you have emailed me and have not got a response, please that you would look back and try to contact us by mail if you could. Our post office box is 43 Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. We have many good messages up there, the Constitution, the plan of salvation, and it's just the interlock between that I'm having a little trouble with right now. So please keep that in mind if I have not responded back to you in proper order. John chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 1. In the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever I said unto you, do it." And there was set there six water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bare it. And when the ruler of the feast tasted the water that was made wine, he knew not whence it was. But the servants which drew the water knew the governor. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom, and said unto him, "Every man at the beginning doth set forth good wine, and when man have well drunk, then that which is worse, but thou hast kept the good wine until now." This beginning of the miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee, and manifested forth his glory, and his disciples believed on him. After this he went out to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Now, after the reading of God's precious word, let's please start with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can come and enjoy this time. Please that you'd guide and lead us and give us the strength that we need to witness for you each day, to live for you each day. I thank and praise you, Father, for your strength and for your power. I thank you for this wonderful message, for this area of Scripture that we're going to study today. Please just touch our hearts with it. Show us your power and strength. Bring salvation into the lost. Dear Lord, we know that you died for the sins of all the world, and yet many have rejected that and tried to work it out on their own. It doesn't work, and so, Father, please, you've sent your Son, and your Son has done all the work. All we need to do is believe. And so I ask that all believe in you today, and they would be saved, and then begin that wonderful walk and service with you. Please guide and lead us now through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We look here at the beginning of this. It says the third day was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee. You know, the third day is probably about 3 days after Nathanael was brought to Jesus. We'd looked at that last time we were together, and it begins in that manner. And it's a joy to watch the Scripture unfold, and the Lord even gives us a timetable, doesn't He, of the projects and what's going on, and it's exciting, it's fun, it's wonderful to study God's Word, and I hope that you do, and I hope that you enjoy it. Many times we get very busy and don't take the time to study, and we should never do that. We should always be enjoying your Word and having it each and every day, and so please, I hope that you enjoy this study, and as we're looking now at this time period here, why, and this timetable, why we find that they have arrived at the marriage in Cana of Galilee. This place, probably, if you look to John 21:2, is possibly where Nathanael was from. because it makes reference in further into the Gospel of John concerning that. And so, again, that was John chapter 21, verse 2, if you would like to look that up. And so we find here that Jesus was invited to this wedding. Now, we know that Jesus' mother was there because the Scripture tells us that in the very first verse, the third day, there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. So we've got several things here that had taken place. Number one, believed that that's where Nathanael lived, and so they could be there for that reason. And then as well, the mother of Jesus was there, and I believe that she probably invited the Lord Jesus and his disciples to attend the wedding. Probably the mother of Jesus was a relative of the one, the bridegroom, or the bride or the groom. One or the other was probably a relative and fairly close relative, because it seems as though that she felt a little responsible when they ran out of wine. And so as we look at that part of it now, so we have Jesus, we have him in Canaan of Galilee. We have his disciples and himself, the Lord Jesus, invited there. We find that the mother of the Lord Jesus is present, probably involved in the making of the arrangements for the festival that was going on, because much different than today. In our day, why in a day, and usually less than a full day, just a half a day, maybe early afternoon and then on into the evening, and that's the marriage and the wedding and the activities after the wedding and things like that. But here it was something that went on for several days. And so we find all the parties involved, and Jesus was called, his disciples, to the marriage, and we find that in him attending, this is kind of the very beginning here of his ministry. He started earlier here in calling out his disciples to follow him, and we find now that we're going to see the very first miracle that the Lord Jesus is going to perform. And this is the Lord Jesus needs to be at this wedding, and he also needs to be at your wedding. You know, if you're not married and you're looking into the situation, the responsibility of marriage, and it's wonderful, it's very necessary. Today it seems so common that all just live together, and that's just accepted by all. Well, it shouldn't be. We should wait and enjoy the oneness that comes together with two individuals. There's a couple things needs to take place. Number one, both of those individuals need to be born again. When I do a wedding, I enjoy sitting down and visiting with the folks that are going to be married. The most important thing, more than the wedding, more than any of the arrangements, more important than anything, is those two, the husband-to-be and the wife-to-be's relationship with Christ. Do they know the Lord Jesus as their Savior? Because if that marriage expects to have any hope of surviving, they need to start on the right plateau, on the right foundation. And that foundation must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we need to come and we need to trust in Jesus as our Savior, and we need to realize that we're sinners and we're lost, and accept the Lord Jesus. And once we've accepted him as our Savior, then things begin to be put into the proper place. In other words, the Lord Jesus is the head then of this new life, this new home together. And if both are saved and they put the Lord Jesus first, then everything comes, because the husband loves the wife as Christ loved the church. The Word of God tells us that. He gave his life for the church. And we as a spouse, as a husband, are to love our wives in that level, to that level that we would give our life for them. And then in turn, the wife, the woman, is to respond to that love. And you got to admit that that's an easy thing to do when you show that much love. it's easy for you to respond. It is different than the world has portrayed it, as the man being the head and being the leader and being the master, so to speak, and the woman the servant or the slave. That's not true at all. That's not what the Scripture tells us at all. When you have the love of Christ in your heart, you'll recognize that. And then when you come together and you say those wedding vows and Jesus Christ is present, as he is at this wedding here in Canaan, then you have the wonderful opportunity of growing together as believers, growing together, and you have become one. And so it's not only a physical thing, but it's also very much a spiritual. And so we need to recognize that. And if that would be recognized today, why, you would see the divorce rate drop to little of nothing if people would just come by faith to Jesus first before they're married. Many times that divides a marriage later, because one person will get saved, the other doesn't, and then there's just constant battles between them. And so please be born again. If you're not born again, postpone the wedding. Let's take care of this first and then begin. Invite Jesus to the wedding. But you can't invite him until you know him. Well, we find here, of course, Mary, the earthly mother of the Lord Jesus, invited Jesus, I believe. I don't think it was just happened. I think Jesus was invited to this wedding by the mother of the Lord Jesus, and also because of the relationship that was tied between Mary and the parties that were getting married, the bride and the groom. Again, Jesus needs to be in the center of your life. And so what a better place to start than at your wedding? Let's do it. Let's be born again and put him first. Jesus attends this wedding. He has attended the very first wedding he performed, and that was the wedding in the Garden of Eden between Adam and Eve. And our Lord performed that wedding. And so now, as we continue, we see both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. That was verse 2. And verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Now, it would seem that maybe Mary should have known better than this. Does she recognize, and I believe she does, who the Lord Jesus is? He is Almighty God. He is the Son of God. Now, Mary is just a woman that is so blessed because she was chosen to be the vessel to bring the Lord Jesus to give him his earthly body. Beyond that, Mary is just a person like everybody else, and Mary makes mistakes like everybody else. And whether she was kind of wanting to show Jesus off a little bit because she was proud of him, it's her son, we're not real sure. But Mary should have used better judgment than this. It seems to say that when these words come, when they wanted wine, and the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine, Jesus responds then to her in verse 4, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Mary here seems to say to Jesus, here's what you need to do. Not realizing that he's God, that he knows, he realizes, recognizes that they're out of wine. Jesus knows everything. Again, what was Mary's purpose in asking? We're not sure. Jesus was not disrespectful to his mother in any way when he said he called her woman. I mean, to us, if I would do that to my mother, why it would have an appearance of disrespect. Not at this time, not in this day. It wasn't a statement that was harsh or unkind in any way. It was a statement that was common. It was a reference to any woman, but it wasn't something that was disrespectful. Now, we need to kind of look a little bit here, please, with me, because if the Lord Jesus would have said mother, then it would have made reference back to his earthly body. Instead of that, he made reference as it was someone in general, not his mother. And by doing that, why, it brings more of an attention to him being Almighty God. It's a situation of relationship here, because when he called attention to the fact that he was more than man, he was and is the Almighty God. Mary, when she called her son to do this, and if he would have referred to his mother, it would have been more of a reference of something of his human, earthly, his body. And so I believe that Jesus was about to perform a beautiful miracle, the first miracle. And in doing so, why, he wanted to show very clearly that he was God. So I believe that we have that in this section of Scripture here. We have many things in these first two or three verses. But as we read that fourth verse, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." This gentle rebuke or reminder, you might call it, he let Mary know that who he was, and that he is to act up on the divine leadership and not upon her leadership. Our mother, you know, sometimes always seems to think that she knows best. And so in doing so, why, sometimes they make those kinds of references. And so I believe Mary, again, was human. Some make her more than that, but she was not. She died just like any human would die. Jesus is the Son of God. Mary is not the mother of God. She is the mother of the earthly body that brought Jesus, that Jesus came into that earthly body to live, the Son of God. But that's all. And so, mine hour is not yet come. We need to kind of look at that a little bit, because not only is he giving her this little reminder that I am not following your leadership, I am following my Father's leadership. And so, my hour is not yet come. Now, the hour that is to come has many things could be involved in that. I mean, his time of humiliation when he was to be beaten and abused and spoken of. I mean, he is King of Kings. He is God. He is the Creator of the world, and yet they treated him like a servant, like a slave, and like some criminal. Instead of God himself. And we know, too, the hour that was to come was going to lead to suffering, not only the humiliation, but also the suffering, and eventually the cross, and then on to the grave. And so the hour had not yet come. But also this hour that is here, we need to realize that man has no control over God. We think we do, but we don't. We have no control over God. And so by not having any control over God, we are not, man nor woman, either one, is to order God around. We're not to tell him what we want. And again, we're good at that, aren't we? Here's what I need, God. Now please take care of it for me. This is how I pray, God. I want this. Instead of looking to his will and to his way, we need to understand that we have a beautiful picture here and a reminder not only for Mary here, but we also have a reminder for ourselves of how we are to pray, how we are to speak, how we are to act towards our God. And Mary asks Jesus to do something. And he just clearly says, you know, my hour is not yet come. And there's a couple of things. I am not to surrender to man's will at this time. Remember what he said to Pontius Pilate? Pontius Pilate says, you know, Jesus, do you realize that I hold your life in my hands? And Jesus said in so many words, no, you don't. No, you don't. And so we need to realize that there will be a time that the Jesus, the Son of God, will surrender his will to man's for the crucifixion, but not yet. And so there's a lot of things here concerning the hour has not yet come that could fall into that. And so now we come next, and his mother then said unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Now, it seems like that Mary recognizes here, again, for whatever reason, whatever purpose that she has come forth to ask the Lord Jesus, she could have come in a different way. She could have come to the Lord Jesus and said, we have need here. Is there, you know, would you help? Instead of that, why, it was something that it was almost like a mother ordering a child to do something. And Jesus very quickly, very kindly, has shown his mother, his earthly mother here, what he needs to do. But until the hour was not yet, there was not going to be man or woman to order. So from time to time, haven't we done the same? Look at Mother Mary here in verse 5. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She's changed her mind. Now she's no longer telling him what to do. She's just relying upon him, seeking his will, whatever he wants to do. So whatever he says, that's what you do. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. Now, we need to follow that. We got a couple verses of Scripture here back in the Old Testament that I'd like to go to that you might enjoy. Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37. And we're going to look at the fifth verse. And that fifth verse says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Kind of what she said. Whatever he says, do it. Let's look to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3 and the 6th verse. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. What's the 5th verse say? Whatsoever he saith to you, do it. You need to listen. We need to listen. That's what we need to do. Now, it continues here. And so there were set there 6 water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Now, we're not sure. There's a lot of speculation on how much that is. But there would be several gallons of water and of wine, as far as that's concerned, to take care of the needs of this wedding. Again, it lasted for several days. And undoubtedly, there must have been a larger group come, or they didn't make enough provisions to have enough. We're not sure what really took place. But anyway, they run out of wine. Well, here was these 6 water pots, and it was very common and with the washing and the purifying and things like that. And so, but don't you seem like it's exciting that there are 6 water pots? 6 is the number of man. You go through the Scripture, the number of the beast is 666. Number of the days that God labored to create the world was 6 days. I mean, there's several things, but the number of man for man is 6, according through the Scripture. And so here we have 6 water pots. The water pots were empty. That is just exactly the condition that you or I are in. We're empty. We need to be filled, and we can't do a thing about it except trust in Jesus as our Lord. These water pots were empty. We are empty as men. And without the Lord Jesus, those water pots are not going to be filled. And not just filled. Now, man can go fill them with water. Now, we're going to see that here. Let's take a look at that. And there were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins of apiece. Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And so they did exactly what they were told to do, and that's what Mary said to do. Whatever he says, you do it. Now, we're out of wine. Why are we going to go fill these water pots with water? Doesn't make much sense. Many, many times, my friend, according to man, what God has us to do, and one is to get saved, to be born again. How simple is that? But man, it's so simple that man can't do it. It's just so simple and so easy to just trust in Jesus and believe in him today. Here we go. Fill those water pots with water. All right? Man can do that. Man can take care of that. But what man can't do is make it new. Jesus is going to make this into wine. And it's found out here immediately in verse 8, and he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast. And they bear it. And when the ruler of the feast had tasted the water that was made wine, he wondered where it came from. Why? Because it was the best wine he had ever tasted. You see, I can tell you about Jesus. I can talk to you all day long, but until you come by faith to Jesus yourself, will you understand what I'm saying? And the only way you're going to do that is by God's power doing it. It's not because I ask you to do it that's going to make any difference at all. I can help you say the words. You can say the words to me. I can say them to you. Whatever we want to do, it's not going to work. I can fill that pot with water, but that's all I can do. Jesus has to do the change. And he will do that when you believe on him. His Holy Spirit right now is convicting your heart, touching your heart, showing you your wickedness and that you need to be saved. And please, that you trust in Jesus today. It is so wonderful. It is so simple. I can bring you the water. These men went and got the water. God made the change. And he's going to do the same thing with your life. Only Christ can turn the water into wine. Only Christ can take a sinful heart and make it new and be born again. Only Christ can do that. No one else. What a beautiful, beautiful message. Now, the next time we come together, we're going to take a look at the rest of this, the response that was come from the governor of the house and things like that, and then move on into the next part. This is the first miracle that Jesus performed. What a wonderful, you think, oh, it's just a little tiny wedding in a little tiny town. Oh, no, my friend. This message has come through the ages. It's been reported and read for 2,000 years. It's not just a little town in a little country with a little water. It's our Lord changing from water to wine, something we can't do, giving us a beautiful example of how he has to change our heart and our life. Please, please trust in Jesus today. Please look to him today. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?